Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti, and I'm here with my good friend Steve Garcher.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Really good, thanks. And we're here with another program studying God's Word, and we left off last time. We had a couple of sessions about Pentecost, and we left off last time after the Holy Spirit had fallen on the 120 people in the upper room, tongues of fire over their head, and they started praising and preaching in tongues, and went outside to start doing sermons, and everybody was on fire, literally, with the Spirit. And we thought that in this program we would carry that a little bit further and see what immediately happened to those people immediately after that, and especially Peter, who, you know, we've been using as an example all through these shows because he's such a great example of transformation. Mm-hmm. And how he was kind of this simple working guy who was sort of shooting off his mouth and always asking questions and always trying to say, oh, well, you know, these other guys might do that, but not me. I'm going to be doing, you know, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to die. And he never quite managed that. And when confronted by those people at the high priest's court, he went from, I'll go with you, I'll die with you, to Jesus who? I don't know anybody named Jesus.
Yeah.
And
at the sight of a servant girl.
Exactly. Yeah. So he wasn't, we concluded he wasn't much of an evangelist.
Not at that point.
No. And he, you know, he wasn't exactly walking with the Lord, even though he had been literally walking with the Lord for 3 years or so. But now, on Pentecost morning, that changes, and it changes very rapidly, because now when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the people that are in that upper room, they are all transformed. And Peter is, again, a perfect example of that, because now, instead of being afraid, instead of denying the Lord, instead of hiding behind the door because he's worried somebody's coming for him, he goes right out into the street and he starts preaching. And the last time on our last show, we read through that whole account. But maybe I always like to enlist Steve into reading a little here.
Here I am, Lord.
But in Acts chapter 2, if you could read 12 and 13, this is a good introduction to what we're going to talk about.
Okay. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine.
So, you know, the wind's blown through, the fire's come down, all these people are singing and praising and preaching, and something radical has happened. And I think that this verse, these two verses, really show something, because something has changed so dramatically that there's people there that says, oh, these guys are drunk.
Yeah.
They have had too much wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were sitting there praying and getting ready and contemplating and, you know, kind of getting ready for what was going to happen because Jesus had told them what was going to happen.
Right.
They didn't understand it, but he said, you know, the Spirit's coming. You're going to get clothed with power. It's coming in a few days. And they got ready, and now their behavior was totally different to the point where somebody says, man, these guys have just been drinking all night. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So something drastic had happened. But there were also some serious people there that said, what could this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they heard these guys speaking in their own language. And here they were, all these Jews from all over the world, because Pentecost, again, was a pilgrimage feast. So all these people were there from all over the place. And all the men that were speaking were Galilean, And everyone who was there heard them in their own language. Mm-hmm. So some serious people said, well, what does this mean?
Right. How does this Galilean know my language?
Yeah. I mean, something amazing has happened here. This isn't your sort of average thing that goes on, you know, on Sunday morning here.
Right.
And they had never heard of such a thing. It said that, you know, the wind could be heard. Mm-hmm. Everyone around that area kind of came to that location to see what was going on.
Yeah.
So the wind must have been heard, you know, pretty far away.
You know, it's interesting, too, because if they came to that location, obviously it was the people could tell where the sound was coming from.
Yes.
That's another thing.
Exactly.
It's pretty awesome.
Exactly.
So that they would all be gathered into one place and hear this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Spirit came with power, and the power was so manifested that everyone around heard and came over there. Mm-hmm. Now, again, some people's hearts were ready to understand what was going on. The people that said, well, what does this mean? And some people were scoffers saying, oh, these guys are drunk.
Yeah.
And I know Steve and I, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners that have been to Pentecostal charismatic type churches and prayer meetings and so forth have seen people that are, quote, drunk in the spirit, because some people do act like they're drunk because they're staggering around and kind of, you know, saying ecstatic kind of things and falling down. And
it's
quite something if you're not used to seeing it.
The power of the Holy Spirit really overwhelms the person.
Yes.
You know, if they avail themselves to opening up.
Yes. Yeah. And he just really comes with power. So when these people say, oh, they're drunk, Peter starts to talk. Now, this is our Peter, you know, that we've lovingly been talking about. You notice, too, Peter was always asking questions. You know, it's like every time Jesus said something, you know, he came up with some question or some kind of a comment. But now he starts to talk. I mean, he takes command of the situation, because now with the Holy Spirit having fallen on him, he's now a transformed person.
Right.
Because now his mind is open to what's going on. He understands the scripture, as we're going to see in a second. He's remembering things that Jesus said in all that time that they were talking and eating dinner together and going to the coffee shop together, and when he was teaching the crowds and when they were just kind of hanging out and relaxing. Now all these things start to come into mind, mm-hmm. because Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of everything I said.
Yeah.
So now Peter's mind must have just been revved up.
Yeah.
Because he has in his mind all the things that Jesus said, all the scriptures that he's been reading and learning about since he was a kid, now suddenly all coming together.
Yeah.
That must have been something.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever had the experience of where you're praying about a situation and then all of a sudden you just get this understanding of, or clarity as to, oh, now it makes sense.
Yes.
You know, imagine that happening to Peter, but on such a larger scale.
Yes.
Yes. All these things coming together, like you're saying.
And I'm sure all of you have had the experience. I have it all the time, but I'm sure you've all had the experience where you're studying the Bible and you're, you know, reading, and you're maybe reading a commentary or two, and you're thinking about what you're reading, and then all of a sudden, everything comes together in your mind, and you jump out of your chair and go, wow.
I got to tell somebody about
that. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
And I just usually say, I got to go call Steve and tell. But Peter had this in, 10,000 times more of a magnitude. And he does something he never would have done before. He stands up and he starts talking. So we don't know. It doesn't really say, was he out in the street? Was he out on a balcony? I mean, I don't know. He didn't have a microphone there was no sound system. There was no worship team playing music. But he stands up and he starts to preach, and he says, listen, these guys are not drunk like some of you think. Because after all, it's 9 a.m, and, you know, we've just had eggs, no bacon, eggs and some toast, And we just got back from Corky and Lenny's, but none of these guys have been drinking. I can guarantee it. And then he goes into a serious scriptural mode. He says, these are the times that were prophesied by the prophet Joel. Mm-hmm. This is our Peter.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's talking about the prophet Joel said this. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even know if Peter could read and write. But he starts talking about the prophet Joel, where the Spirit is going to be poured out. And, you know, you can read that for your homework. It's in Joel chapter 2. And the Spirit's going to be poured out. It's, you know, and it's in the last days. It's in the end days. And, you know, to say something about that, we have to also keep in mind that the end times started when Jesus came. You know, we commonly as Christians talk about, well, you know, we're living in the end times. Mm-hmm. And we are, because right. the end times started when Jesus came.
Right.
Certainly now we're sort of toward the end of the end time. And everybody yeah. senses that. Everybody knows that. And my experience has been that, and I go many different places, many different churches, many different prayer groups. My sense is that the time of Joel's being fulfilled again because the Spirit's being poured out all over the place.
Right.
Different yeah. churches, different groups of people. And, you know, and it's and it may be a sign in my mind that the Lord's returning soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a long time, the charismatic or the charisms have not really, you know, they didn't disappear altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I think up until... you know, Azusa Street mm-hmm. in 1906,
mm-hmm.
that's when the Spirit seemed to be poured out again
yes.
in our
oh,
day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And in a very powerful way, mm-hmm. in a rapid way, went through many different denominations of churches, right. different manifestations in different people, but with similar experiences.
Right.
You know, you had the praying in tongues, you had the sort of revival of the Bible studies and, you know, serious studies of the word going on and, right. you know, all these things that we've experienced in the last few years that have been going on maybe for the last 100 or so years,
right.
it's definitely been a change. Mm-hmm. And so Peter says, you know, the prophet Joel says the Spirit's going to be poured out and there's going to be things that are actually charisms are going to be manifested. And he talks about dreams and visions and tongues and, there's going to be signs and wonders that are going to be manifested.
Prophecy.
And yeah. prophecy.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a very important one. And these things are going to be seen by people. And he says the ultimate point of this is that people are going to be saved by calling upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, this is what you've seen happen right here. The Spirit's been poured out on us because we were just up there kind of praying and hanging out.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're out here on the street preaching.
Yeah.
We got like this street mission going now.
you have the words of Jesus being fulfilled right there. The prophecy mm-hmm. of Jesus saying that they were going to receive the gift of the Father in a few days.
Yes.
And you have the prophecy of Joel being fulfilled right there
yes.
in their midst.
Yes. And Peter says, wow. That's what's just happened right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been with the Messiah. He told us this was going to happen. The Spirit's just been poured out on us, and that's why I'm here telling you this. Nobody's drunk here. This is a sign of the charisms mm-hmm. that were predicted by the Lord. And interestingly, too, that passage in Joel says that the Spirit's poured out on all flesh. So I think we have to take that to mean Gentiles as well as Jews.
Right.
Women as well as men, mm-hmm. you know, Chinese people as well as Norwegians.
Yeah.
I mean, every group of people that you can imagine, because the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh.
Regardless of rage yes. or age, race
right.
or gender.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you see what's going on in the world now, in Africa and in Asia, the Spirit's being poured out on people and the churches are on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what denomination they are, they're on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have friends, you know, that have done mission work in Africa, and you probably know people that have been there, and You know, you put a sign up in front of a church, you know, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock and 30,000 people come.
Yeah. You know, you hear stories of people, you know, they're at a mass or a worship service and, you know, they're there for 3 hours
yes.
or more. And,
oh, yeah.
and when they're asked like, well, how come you're here that long? They're like, where else are we going to go?
Yeah.
You know, they're just so, they're so on fire for the Lord and the Spirit's, you know, being poured upon yes. them in such abundant
And they
grace.
Walk yeah. from distances to come there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in our, you know, in our culture, we drive a few miles maybe. And after yeah. about an hour or so, we want it to be kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
So we can go home.
Yeah. Driving 20 minutes is, oh boy, that church is pretty far. I got to drive 20 minutes. And you got, you know, you got people walking miles
yeah.
in some of these third world countries.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that from, you know, different people who have ministered, priests and lay people that have ministered that I've talked to, they always say that the third world countries, the people are just so more
mm-hmm.
ready or
mm-hmm.
available to receive what God wants to do, what God wants yeah. to give. And that, yeah. that's something they always see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in our more sophisticated, busy society, people aren't as docile to what the Spirit's doing because we're intelligent, we're educated, we're busy.
Yeah.
We have things to do and we miss out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
people that live in, quote, you know, less complicated, simpler cultures.
Right.
They're ready.
They're ready to go.
They're ready to go. So Peter, after he's done talking about the prophet Joel, he starts preaching about Jesus.
Yeah. This is where it gets good.
Yeah, this is where it gets good. And the interestingly, too, is Jesus predicted that when the Spirit came, the Spirit wasn't going to talk about himself. He was going to talk about Jesus. He's going to point to Jesus. It's one of the things that the Spirit does. He points to Jesus mm-hmm. and glorifies him. He doesn't glorify himself. And, you know, Jesus would always say, I'm not here to glorify me. I'm here to glorify my Father. And, of course, God is Trinity. You know, we don't want to think these are separate, you know.
Right.
Gods,
right.
Separate entities, but one God. So Jesus predicted the Spirit would glorify him and not the Spirit. So Peter starts preaching about Jesus, doesn't start preaching about the Spirit. I mean, he mentions, you know, Joel, Spirit's been poured out. Now let me tell you about Jesus.
Right.
Because he could have gone on and talked about the Holy Spirit for an hour or so, but he wouldn't have really known that much about it. But he knew a lot about Jesus. But now that this had all come to mind and kind of crystallized, he basically just does the salvation preaching. Because, mm-hmm. you know, this Jesus came, he lived here, he taught, he died.
Did all these mighty
You guys killed him.
Yeah.
He rose from the dead. And this is the nucleus of the good news. This is the you know, with the Greek word kerygma, this is the center of the Christian news, the Christian faith. It's the good news. Jesus came. He died for us. He rose from the dead. He went back to the Father, sits at the right hand. And this is how we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kerygma. So Peter lets it rip. And, you know, the fact that the Holy Spirit's fallen on him, you know, even as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Peter's now so full with the Spirit. I mean, he knew Jesus was Lord. He called him Lord. But now he's zealously proclaiming that word, and he's out in the street, and he's not hiding anymore because he doesn't right. care who hears him. He wants people to hear him.
Yeah. He's talking about, you know, he's talking about his aunt, or their ancestor David.
Yes, exactly.
That David called, you know, said, I saw the Lord of my Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, he's talking to him about how David, you know, he was a patriarch. He died and was buried in his tomb and is our midst today. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne,
mm-hmm.
and he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so he's tying all this together to the, for them from
right.
the prophet Joel
right.
about their ancestor David, and you know, therefore, then he says, therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Ooh. That just cut them to the heart.
Oh, yeah. You know. As it does with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, well, we're coming up on a break already. This is The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We'll be right back with you.